helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. There's a great line from the movie Hunt for Red October.
Listen, I'm a politician, which means I'm a cheat and a liar. And when I'm not kissing babies, I'm stealing their lollipops.
Today, it seems like when they're not kissing up to their bases, politicians are stealing our rights. Cheating and lying seem to be a central part of the game in D.C., whether they're lying about gun owners, the economy, or even crimes. Cheating seems to be the way, a way of life. Then again, the American people keep hiring these liars, cheats, and thieves, so whose fault is it really? Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. Teach the rational generation, be free. I am glad you could join me today. You know, I just got back from a patriotic podcasting conference, and I kind of enjoyed myself. I met some people. Hopefully, I learned some things that you may see start showing up here on the radio program on the Constitution Study in the near future. Who knows? We'll find out as time goes by. But I want to get into, the lying, cheating, lollipop stealing politicians that are representing us. Take, for example, ATF's Demand 2 program. Have you heard of this? It was supposedly created to help ATF identify gun trafficking patterns. And what they do is when a firearm is traced back to the dealer, the FFL that sold it, they're looking at they're keeping statistics on this so they can try to find patterns. Okay, but there's some, well, let's say less than honorable people maybe that are misrepresenting what Demand 2 is and what it means to be on the Demand 2 list. USA Today released the names of the 1,300 or so FFLs, federal firearms licensees, firearm dealers, who are on the Demand 2 list for selling at least 25 guns that the agency has traced within 3 years of their original purchase date. Now, the problem is, the story referred to these guns as quote-unquote, crime guns. Well, there's several problems with that. First of all, ATF doesn't identify guns as crime guns. These are guns that are traced. For example, was the Eric Delbert. He founded LEPD Firearms and Ranger, and he got a call from, the Columbus Dispatch. They wrote a story based on the report from the ATF, and they wanted to know why this gentleman was selling so many guns to criminals. Well, problem number one, again, these are not necessarily crime guns. Guns can be traced for a lot of different reasons. For example, yes, they may be found at a crime. Doesn't identify whether that was the gun was used to commit the crime or defend from the crime. By the way, a gun can be traced because it's found. It was lost and it gets found and they run a trace on it. For example, a dealer reported that he had somebody who was going through a divorce and wanted the guns out of the house during the divorce. So he transferred them to a dealer, which of course meant they went through a background check and they got traced. There was no crime. He was actually trying to prevent a crime. But you see, we use these terms. These are crime guns. And of course, the media is using the fact that someone's on this list to vilify them, a dealership. Now, again, if you've had 25 guns, firearms of any sort, that were traced for any reason, within 3 years of purchase, you got put on this list. Now, listen, if you're a mom and pop shop and you sell maybe a couple of hundred firearms a month, I don't even know if that's a huge number. You're a lot less likely to end up on the list than you're for a major retailer that sells a few thousand guns a month. So there's no scale. Does this 25 guns a month mean, you know, I've sold 10,000 guns in the last year? I've thrown 100,000 firearms in the last 3 years and I've only had 25 of them traced? It really is. There are issues with the program. But there's also an issue with the reporters. To simply say because a gun got traced and all of a sudden all these people are going, these are crime guns in our community. Not necessarily. Again, you know, a domestic dispute or some other situation where law enforcement enters the picture and there happens to be guns there. They may not have been used in any crime. They get traced. See, that's the problem. You know, again, you got to know the details. The details sadly matter. And there's another, I think, a more sinister reason for this. And we see it with the push for red flag laws. Follow me for just a second. Interesting. Wyoming actually just sent a bill to the governor that would prohibit the state enforcing a federal red flag law. And the whole idea of a red flag law is someone who has a mental disturbance. There are red flags that this person may be dangerous to others. Let's take the guns away. Let's not protect the person. Let's not deal with the person. Let's only deal with the guns. Well, more and more, we're seeing even the desire to protect yourself being treated as some sort of mental disorder. I mean, think about it. How often has a gunner said, well, why do you need to carry a gun? My response nowadays is, well, do you have a fire extinguisher in your home? Why? Are you going to set a fire? No, you have it just in case. But more and more, the idea of carrying a gun, I remember back when I lived in New York, there was a situation. We had a visitor in town. The guy I worked with, and we had a visitor in town, and we were driving around, and we were going to a location where firearms were not allowed. So I got out of the vehicle, I went to the back of the vehicle, I locked up my firearm before we went inside. The man, our visitor was shocked that I'd been armed. He never knew it, but to him it was shocking that someone was going around with a firearm. Well, I kind of get this interesting question. I saw this actually, one of my America Out Loud contributors, the other was David Rizzadella, declared, you know, how long before they just call gun ownership a mental illness? You want to own a gun? You're obviously mentally deranged. Therefore, you shouldn't be allowed to have a gun. Again, there's a lot here, and it's part of it is I think what they've done is they've learned how to simply vilify their opponents, and you know, now you're crazy. Again, how long before you're just crazy if you wish to own a gun? You know, how long before the desire to protect yourself is now considered a sign of a mental disturbance? I've even gone so far. There are places where I tell them, I'm sorry, I can't deal with you anymore because you put up a no gun sign, which means you're not interested in public safety. Oh, we're very interested. If you think that sign's going to stop anybody, then you're the one with the mental illness, not me. And we see all of this push to kind of twist the ideas and twist the situation to make it seem like it's the people who actually want to enforce their rights are the ones with the mental disturbance, are the ones with the mental issue. But if we're going to talk about mental issues, there's one place we have to go. And that's Joe Biden and his State of the Union address. Now, I don't know if you follow the state. I didn't actually listen live to the State of the Union. I've been getting bits and pieces of it. And I don't listen for one simple reason. I'm not going to waste my time on this theater. And by the way, it's not Joe Biden. I haven't listened to a State of the Union address probably maybe the 80s or 90s. Because the State of the Union address is theater. They say, oh, it's constitutionally required. No, all that's constitutionally required is that the president notify Congress of the State of the Union. You can write him a letter. In fact, that's the way it was done originally. So this whole, we have to have an address and all that, that's all theater. But of course, theater very often comes up with some, well, very interesting expose, shall we say, things that maybe you would not have been aware of. I mean, was it Joe Biden's approval rating is down to about 38%. There's a lot of reasons why people are not too happy. The people are really questioning. An AP NORC poll found that 6 in 10 voters are not very or not at all confident in Biden's mental capability to serve as president. It's become a large talking point. A lot of people associate it with his age. I don't associate with his age. I associate with his mental stability, where he is, what his mental capabilities are. Because remember, this is the president of the United States. He's the chief executive. He's not the most powerful man in the world, as a lot of people like to say, but he does have a command authority. He could, he sets a lot of policies. He's the one that's pushing to get, in some cases, get more involved in Ukraine or spend more money in Ukraine. And, there's a lot that the office of president can do, either because of the Constitution or just by tradition. And if the man is not all there, that should concern all of us. But then I saw this. This is great. I saw this in the Epoch Times. Anyone remember Hillary Clinton? Yeah. She was doing an interview. Mornings with Zerlina. Never heard the radio program. But she was asked, she was talking about the interview, and she said, somebody the other day said to me, well, but you know, Joe Biden's old. Okay, that's true. She said, you know what? Joe Biden is old. Let's go ahead and accept the reality. Joe Biden is old. Fine. Yes, I agree with her that far. So far, I agree. Yes, he is old. My concern is not so much his age. It's his capability, his mental acuity. But she went on to say, so we have a contest between one candidate who's old, but who's done an effective job and doesn't threaten our democracy. There, I got a problem here. Because he has not done an effective job. The border is wide open. The economy still hasn't recovered from what both he and Trump did thanks to COVID. The Department of Justice, the federal law enforcement, has been used to attack his political opponents, from Trump to pro-life activists to just Roman Catholics or parents who are concerned about what their children are being taught in school. That's not effective. We went from peace breaking out in the Middle East to war breaking out in the Middle East. That's not effective. We went from threats of Russia threatening to invade Ukraine to Russia actually invading Ukraine. And we spent hundreds of billions of dollars to help support Ukraine in a war that doesn't appear they can win. But it's not just that he's not effective. He is a direct threat to democracy. Why? He rules by executive order. First of all, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. But even that aside, if we were a democracy, shouldn't the people be making these decisions, not him? He talks about it in the State of the Union, which I want to get to on the other side of the break. But he said, listen, I don't care, what the courts say. I don't care what the people say. I say Roe v. Wade was good, and I want it codified before he leaves office. That was what he was saying in the State of the Union address. That sounds like democracy to Ms. Clinton? It probably does, because remember, the Deutschland Demokratische Republika, I believe that's how it was pronounced, the East Germany claimed to be a democratic republic. It really wasn't very democratic. and others. They see democracy as, was it, I think Stalin put it, as a necessary stepping stone to communism. There's a man that again, it's not all there, but he's being promoted. He's being supported in this situation, even with all the evidence that his capabilities are questionable at best. Now, I did mention the State of the Union. I didn't watch it live, but I did take a look at some of the things that were going on. And I want to talk about that after the break. But before I do, a couple things I wanted to let you know. You know, as I keep saying here, our rights are under attack. So I'm asking you, don't help fund those companies that are attacking our right to live free, our right to free speech, our right to live as Christians, our right to exercise whatever religion we wish. Join the only Christian conservative wireless provider. Use your cell phone to defend your rights and the rights of your family, including the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's Patriot Mobile. Go to patriotmobile.com/constitution to find out how not only you can get great service on the same towers that most of the major networks carriers use, but how you can support the Constitution Study and other patriotic Christian conservative organizations with your wireless dollars. Again, that's patriotmobile.com/constitution, or use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation and support truth, justice, and the American way. And if you are worried about COVID, if you're worried that you got COVID or you got the jab or that maybe you've picked it up from someone who's been shedding, well, the wellness company has something that can help. It's called Spike Support. It's for everyone, whether you've been vaccinated or not. It helps break down and get rid of the spike protein, which is toxic and inflammatory. It's made right here in the USA. It's backed by documented research. It's vetted by the chief medical board of the wellness company. And because you're an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off spike protein or any of the products at the wellness company. And you can also get 25% off your first month of membership with the code OUTLOUD. So please go to TWC.health. That's TWC.health to the wellness company. Check out their great products. I use several of them. You might want to try Spike Support. But be sure to use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off of products and your first month of membership.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX. Because it works.
Well, Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're talking about vilifying guns while encouraging crime. We talked about the guns aspect in the first segment, and I led into some of the stuff with Joe Biden. Of course, the State of the Union address. Now, there have been a lot of people picking apart a lot of stuff from the State of the Union address, but a couple things seem to have really stood out recently. Starting with his discussion of the so-called border policy bill. I say so-called because what it really was a Ukraine funding bill that did a little bit for the border. But some of the stuff they're talking about of, we won't close the border down unless an average of 5,000 people a month cross illegally, which is ridiculous. Supposedly they're going to, we're going to deal with illegals quicker because we don't have enough judges now to deal with the backlog. Somehow magically we're going to have more. But I want you to listen to Joe Biden's word from the State of the Union as he starts talking about the border policy, the border bill, and he thinks it'll solve everything. At least that's what he says. But, well, let me let you hear his own words.
I believe that given the opportunity for a majority in the House and Senate would endorse the bill as well, a majority right now. But unfortunately, politics has derailed this bill so far. I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress in the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as would be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner, not really.
I agree with him that politics installed this bill. The disagreement I have is the politics of those who want to wrap this up with Ukraine. Remember, it was, 60-some billion dollars to Ukraine and $14 billion to the border. The politics are the problem, yes, but the politics are not what Mr. Biden is implying. He talked about, his predecessor. Funny, he never names Donald Trump, but he says his predecessor reached out to members of Congress and urged them to not support this bill. Could it be that looking at the details of the bill, they don't actually secure the border? They kind of shuffle paperwork around. And as I said, one of the outstanding features of this, one of the preeminent features, is that they refuse to close the border until a certain number of illegal aliens are actually crossing the border, which kind of tells me they think they can close the border. They're refusing to. And of course, you're talking about 5,000, and he's going to talk some more about it. But then someone from the audience yells out, talking about Lakin Riley, the young lady who was murdered allegedly by an illegal alien that had no business being in this country.
Lakin Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Okay, a lot of people have made a lot about the fact that he mispronounced this young lady's first name. It's Lakin, L-A-K-E-N, not Lincoln, L-I-N-C-O-L-N. But, okay, that's not nice, but it's, that to me is a simple faux pas. It's not a big deal. But did you hear what he said? See, people are focusing on this woman who was killed by an illegal. How many people are killed by legals? Isn't that kind of making the point that we kind of need to have better control over the border and over who's coming across that border?
To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing. And it's worth taking the chance of the $8,000.
And Mr. Biden, whose policies have helped bring that about? Who's provided the catch and release policies for Customs and Border Patrol? Who has allowed illegal people to enter the country illegally? You hand them a debit card, give them plane fare, and whatever else to go transfer around the country. And hey, when you get to where you're going, contact that and we'll do some. Mr. Biden, it's your policies that have made it 6 to 8 years. Not just by the policies of it making it easier for people to evade, but for the policies that have brought in multiple times the number of illegal aliens than we've ever dealt with before. So the problem you're describing is one, well, you didn't necessarily create it. You have poured gasoline on that fire. You've poured rocket fuel on that fire.
But if it's only 6 weeks, the idea is it's highly unlikely that people will pay that money and come all that way knowing that they'll be able to be kicked out quickly.
There's no way you're kicking out people in only 6 weeks. There's not simply because the policies you've put in place, Mr. Biden, prevent that from happening. The sheer numbers. We don't have the immigration judges to get through the backlog, to get through the number of people that are coming here, that are approaching, that are entering our country illegally.
I would respectfully suggest my Republican friends owe it to the American people, get this bill done. We need to act now.
Again, this bill does not make things better. This bill is a whitewash of what's been going on. And of course, this led to a lot of cheering and all that. And then Mr. Biden went on with this.
And if my predecessor is watching, instead of paying politics and pressuring members of Congress to block the bill, join me in telling the Congress to pass it. We can do it together. But that's what he apparently hears what he will not do.
Funny about talking about playing politics, because remember, there was a border bill that he had pressured the Democrats in the Senate to hold up unless it included 3 or 4 times more money for Ukraine. So apparently it's okay when he plays politics, when the Democrats play politics. And again, this is for a bill that is questionable whether it would actually fix the problem at all, whether it would do absolutely anything other than legitimize more illegal aliens entering the country. Now, Mr. Biden went on to lie and defame what his predecessor had said, what Mr. Trump had said. But a couple of interesting things happened. As I mentioned, people latched onto the fact that Mr. Biden mispronounced Ms. Riley's first name. And I said to me, okay, that's a faux pas. That's not good. As mistakes go, that's relatively mild. What I found the most interesting was the people who got all upset that he referred to the alleged murder of Lake and Riley as an illegal alien, which of course is exactly what he was, what he is. He's here. He's an alien. In other words, he's not legal resident of this country. He entered this country illegally. That makes him, by definition, an illegal alien. However, shortly thereafter, on an interview with MSNBC, listen to this interchange between Joe Biden and Jonathan Capehart.
I noticed the look of surprise on your face when you walked into the chamber and you saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It was priceless. You feigned shock at seeing her. But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented.
Let's break in right there. No, illegal is the proper term. He is here illegally. He's not undocumented. He's not wandering around and says, oops, I forgot my passport. I forgot my papers. I'm sorry. This is a person that broke the law to enter the country. It's the verbal jujitsu, right? When these Marxist tyrants try to get us to use their language. Refuse. They are illegal aliens. They're not illegal. They're not undocumented workers. They're not illegal immigrants, because many of them are not here to migrate to this country. They're here to get some work and then go home, or commit some malfeasance and go home. But now he's apologizing for using the right term, which tells you an awful lot, not only about the president, but about his supporters, people who got all bent out of shape because he used the actual legally correct term, not politically correct, the legally correct term for the person accused of this murder.
When I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that his, the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect.
First of all, it's not disrespectful to refer to them properly, right? If someone commits a crime, they are a criminal. If someone commits a murder, they are a murderer. If someone entered this country illegally, which that's not in question, right? He's alleged to have committed the murder. So he's an alleged murderer, but he entered the country illegally. That is, means he is an illegal alien. But the idea is he's more worried about offending an illegal alien than he is the family of that, of the person he's alleged to have murdered. Do you really think the family of Lake and Riley is upset? Oh, he referred to this guy as undocumented. No, I bet you they're more pissed that he was allowed to illegally enter this country than, once being found to be here illegally, was allowed to remain in this country with a deportation order. And because of that, he was still here in order to allegedly commit the murder of these poor people's daughter.
Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and a more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
Now, here's the other bit of verbal jujitsu. See, Mr. Biden is conflating legal immigrants who did build this country with illegal immigrants, illegal aliens who have helped destroy this country. Illegal aliens are not what made this country great. Yes, we're all here. We're from, for the most part, we're all from somewhere else. Our families, our predecessors, they came here from somewhere else, and they helped build this country. But they did it legally. They followed the law. But you see, he wants to conflate. Don't separate the fact that this person is illegally in this country. We're going to conflate him with everybody else. The same thing he did with the Trump quotes. Trump is, quote, is talking about illegal aliens, and he conflates that with all aliens, all immigrants, all foreigners, and that's just not true.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
I believe he regrets using that word because his base came after him for actually using the word, the term illegal alien, for an actual illegal alien that's alleged to have committed a murder. You see what I'm talking about? When you know, we're here dealing with, they're encouraging crime. They're vilifying the people trying to protect themselves, but they're encouraging crime. They're encouraging people committing a crime to enter this country. They're supporting them. They're sending them around the country. They're giving them food. They're giving them shelter. They are making them comfortable in the consequences of their crime. And then they're shocked. Shocked, they say, why this crime keeps going, why there's more and more of it. Well, the answer is simple, Mr. Biden. You get more of what you encourage. You only get less of it when you actually punish the crime. He says we have to control the border. You start controlling the border by punishing the people who break the law to cross the border. So now do you see why I don't watch the State of the Union address? It's theater. It's nothing but political theater, and I have neither the time nor inclination to stand neck deep in BS from a bunch of politicians who, when they're not trying to schmooze me into supporting them, are stealing me blind, are stealing everything I've got blind. Enough. No. The State of the Union address is theater. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to be an effective president, stop the show. Write a letter. This is the State of the Union. Here are the things I would like to see in the next year. Send that to the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, and boom, you're done. And publish it on the website. Publish it online. Make it available. Allow everybody to read it. Don't hide it. But don't make a show of it. And maybe if we turn the State of the Union back into a report on the state of a report to Congress on the State of the Union, we'd have less of this theater and less of this nonsense. Okay, so I have to take another break before I go. I haven't talked about this for a while, but I created on the Constitution study what I call the study wizard. So I meet a lot of people that say, what do I do next? What should I do to learn more? Well, I created the Constitution Study Planning Wizard to do just that. It's a few simple questions. Tell me a little bit about yourself, about what it is you want to do, a little bit about what experience you have. And the system will generate some recommendations. Many of them are free. You just, try this, try that. Others might require you to purchase something. It's up to you. But the planner is free. So again, go to constitutionstudy.com/wizard. Click the button, go through the wizard, answer those questions, and you'll get emails from the Constitution Study website with suggestions that can help you become a better Constitution Study scholar, Constitution scholar, or whatever it is you're really trying to do. Now, also, I recommend you head to AmericaOutloud.news every day for news and information. I do. It's where I get a lot of my stories, a lot of my information. But I want you to do more. See, we talk a lot about what we see. We don't talk much about what we do. See, I want you to take the stories and the articles from AmericaOutloud.news and share them. I want you to find the podcast, the videos that speak something to you. Share them as well. Share them with friends, share them with family, share them online. It's not so important how many people you share it to. It's the act of sharing that helps us all secure the blessings of liberty.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're looking at those vilifying guns while encouraging crime. And okay, maybe this next one isn't truly a crime, but it is a record. The Biden administration has set a record. Yay! Or should I say boo? The federal debt at this point of his presidency, Biden has increased the federal debt by $6 trillion. Almost $6.7 trillion in just 1,142 days. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a record. I don't think it's a record we would like. I don't think it's a record we should cheer. You're right. It is a record we should boo. It's a record that shows, and again, this, they're talking about the Biden administration. This isn't all Biden's fault.
They told me they fixed it.
No, why is it not all Biden's fault? Well, remember, money cannot be spent out of the Treasury except on appropriations from Congress. That means Congress authorized the spending of this money. Now, they may have not been very wise in how they spent it, but it's Congress's fault. And since by tradition, if not by Constitution, all spending bills originate out of the House, that means your representatives in Congress are the ones that authorized this spending. So as much as we like to blame the president, it's not really all his fault. It's not even that much his fault. It is the fault of Congress and the people who work for us. Now, what can be laid at the feet, directly at the feet of the Joe Biden and his administration, is this interim report that's come out talking about, let's just say the surveillance state that the Biden administration has created. Okay, let me add, he didn't create it, but he certainly has figured out how to use it. You see, the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government has, they've issued a new interim report. And in this report, they state that federal law enforcement, including Treasury Department's FinCEN, or Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, and the FBI, colluded with large financial institutions in the United States, such as Barclays, U.S. Bank, Charles Schwab, HSBC, Bank of America, PayPal, and many others, to basically go on a phishing expedition for your financial data. According to the report, they did keyword searches, looking for terms like MAGA and Trump, as well as purchases of certain books, religious texts, firearm-related items, and places at recreational stores like Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop, and Dick's Sporting Goods. They extended far beyond the idea of criminal suspicion. In other words, there was no probable cause for this search, making this a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment. But Paul, your transactions are at the companies. They're not considered private. You don't have a sense of privacy. Read the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment doesn't guarantee privacy. It says you protect you from unreasonable searches and seizures. For a search to be reasonable, it must be done based on a warrant, based on probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, or it must be exigent. It must be of so much such an urgent need that you cannot wait to get a warrant. Not that you don't have the requirements to get a warrant, but you cannot wait for that. This is criminal. And a lot of people talking about, oh, this is bad. This is the FBI and the Department of Treasury committing a federal crime. They are denying you, under color of law, they are denying you a right protected by the Constitution of the United States. That's a violation of 18 U.S.C. Section 242. Actually, it's a group, so Section 241, which means people can be fined, individuals can be fined, and they can be imprisoned for up to 10 years. See, I told you that I went to a podcasting conference the other day, and we talked to several people who were dealing with lawsuits related to this type of federal criminal activity. The one thing I never hear, and one I keep bringing up, when are we going to start filing criminal complaints? Now, listen, I'm not foolish. I'm pretty sure if we were to file a criminal complaint against the DOJ, the Treasury, the DOJ would simply squash it. I mean, they would just, nah, we're not doing any of that. But we have to do what's right, not because we know we're going to win, but because it's the right thing to do. As John Quincy Adams said, the duty is ours, the results are God's. Now, this interim report brought up something new, something I heard of before. It's a web portal run by the Domestic Security Alliance Council, which is these quasi, these public-private partnerships you know, kind of it's really a government action, but it's run through the private sector, through, in this case, led by the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. And according to the report, the portal appears to have shared intelligence products with financial institutions that were used to identify individuals who fit the profile of criminal and domestic violent extremists, often because of their conservative political views or other constitutionally protected activity. This is the surveillance state. They talk about, when I talk about encouraging crime, I don't simply mean the illegal alien murderers. I don't simply mean the crime on the street. I'm talking about the crime in our government. This sharing of information. Again, not because of evidence of a crime, not because of probable cause of a crime, but because you fit a profile that the politicians are afraid of. They say, oh, this may, you know, you fit the profile of a criminal or domestic violent extremist. No, you fit the profile of a political adversary. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I hear a lot of people saying, well, I don't want to be on the list. You should be proud to be on this list. But Paul, that says I'm a domestic violent extremist. No, it says you are something the tyrants are afraid of. Let me say that again. Being on this list should be worn as a badge of honor, because while they claim that you're a domestic violent extremist, what you really are is someone that the tyrants in the federal government are afraid of. When the tyrants are afraid of you, that's a good thing. Remember, back during the Revolutionary War, do you know who the British were most afraid of? The British military, the British government? They were afraid of, they even gave them a name. They called them the Black Robe Regiment. It was the pastors. It was the people who were preaching freedom and liberty that they were afraid of. I hope I'm on this list. Not because I'm looking for the federal government to come after me, but because it shows that the federal government is afraid of me. I want them to be afraid of me. And now I want to give them something to be afraid of. What is that? I want to file a criminal complaint. I want to see, I got to figure out how to do this, right? Because first of all, according to the interim report, the federal law enforcement used these reports and other material they shared with the financial institutions to commandeer their databases, conduct sweeping searches of individuals not suspected of committing any crimes without a warrant in order to identify individuals making certain suspicious transactions. Representative Jordan, I want to know how I find out, was I in that list? I want to know if I was in that list. I want to know which bank or other financial institutions colluded with the government to deprive me of my rights. I want to know which agency wanted this data so that I can form a criminal complaint. And then if I do, I not only want to create a formal federal criminal complaint, I want to create a template that other people can use and find out how we go about doing this. I just decided I'm going to reach out to Representative Jordan and see how I can find out if I was caught up in this trap, because then I have a cause. I should have standing to not only sue the federal government, but to file a criminal complaint. I don't know if this is going to work. Maybe not, but you know what? I want to give it a shot anyway, because I'm going to tell you we need to do it because it's the right thing. That means I need to do it because it's the right thing. For example, here's another one. You'll love this. New York City, the Empire. When I tell people I'm a refugee of the Empire, they chuckle. Because I am a refugee from New York State. I was born and raised there. But now I don't think it's safe for me to go there. Because you heard that Governor Hochul wants to take National Guard, put them in the New York City subways to search people's bags without a warrant, without probable cause, and without negligent circumstance. Do you know? You know, and again, you know what? People are complaining. See, according to Ms. Hochul, she said, we're going to take some strong action. There's no stop and frisk. There's no profiling. All this is a deterrent saying, you want to commit a crime? Go somewhere else, not on our subways. No, Ms. Hochul. This is saying you are not a private citizen. You are not, you don't have rights. You're a subject of her tyrannical state that says you don't have the right to not be searched without probable cause. You go on our subways, you are a servant. You are a subject. Her response to the people who don't like it, go home. Go home. The people who paid for that subway, the people who pay her salary, the oath she took to the Constitution of the state of New York and the United States, she just wipes her backside and throws it right in your face. Ladies and gentlemen, New York, are you going to put up with it? You know, I'd love to go back and visit friends. I've been there several times. I'd love to go back and visit friends. I don't know if it's safe for me to actually go enter the state of New York. That's how bad it is. Not simply because of the crime, but because of the criminals in Albany, the criminals in New York City that hold political office, that think they can simply turn the subway system, and hey, first is the subways, then it'll be the buses, then it'll be the streets. Imagine walking down the street and having an armed guard member or officer show up and said, show me your papers. Show me your papers. Open your bags. I got to rifle through them. Why? Well, because you're walking the streets. You don't have a right to walk the streets. You don't have the right to be out in public on public property. What do you think you are? A human being? This, ladies and gentlemen, this is evil. And I'm waiting to find somebody stand up and say, what are we going to do about this? When did we become slaves to this petty tyrant? Okay, I got one more, and you're going to love this. So imagine you are in Wisconsin, and you know what? You know the primary is coming up, so you decide, hey, how about I'll just use my personal assistant, right? And you press a little button, and you go say, hey, Siri, when is the Wisconsin Republican primary? Do you know what she says? April 3rd. Just one little problem, though. It's actually April 2nd. That's right. Siri is committing, according to Democrats. In fact, I think it was actually according to a court in the federal court in the Eastern District of New York. The Siri, and by extension, Apple, well, they've committed fraud. They've conspired to fraudulently keep you from voting in the Republican primary. I mean, you remember Douglas McKay? He was convicted of satirical memes being what they said was a conspiracy to suppress turnout at the election in 2016. Well, if he's guilty, why isn't Apple guilty of lying to their customers when Siri tells you it's the wrong stupid date? The answer is they only want to prosecute when it adversely impacts, well, their friends, i.e. the Marxist socialists in the Democratic Party. They don't mind if it impacts the Republican primary. Now I'm waiting. I'm waiting for somebody running for office in Wisconsin on the Republican primary to sue Apple and you know, see if we can get federal charges, just like they did, just like they went after Mr. McKay. Listen, I hate the fact that we're such a litigious society, but we are. And if we continue to allow criminals to perform criminal acts without any consequences. Now, listen, my guess is it's a simple mistake by Apple. I don't really want Apple sued over this. I don't want someone going to jail over this. What I want you to see is just how the criminals work. They're more than happy to say, oh, well, see, that's just a mistake. But when this person made a joke and the news media picked it up so it went, you know, viral, well, they see that person's got to go to jail. See, you can't joke about people with such thin tyrants have thin skins. They don't like it when you joke about them, and they get really nasty. But you see, that's the state of the world today. If you try to defend yourself, you're vilified. Well, if they encourage crime on the other side, they're lauded. It's about time we stop playing by their rules. Let's play by the Constitution. Play by the real rules. hold them accountable. If nothing else, at least point out their fallacies, point out their mistakes, and lampoon their insanity. If we don't do anything, if, you know, what is it? Who was it that said, all it takes for good, for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing? Let's stop doing nothing. Let's do something. There are a lot of things we can do. We can point and laugh at the foolishness of what they say. We can point out their hypocrisy. We can point out that, actually, that it's not so much hypocrisy, that their agenda shows their priorities are evil. It's the subjugation of mankind, not its liberty. We can show the criminal acts that they commit and push to hold them accountable. We must do something. Now, hopefully, one of the things you're going to try, priority doing it, is come back to the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard in the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen to the podcast. Every episode goes to podcast generally, a day or two after it's heard on the radio. You can listen on your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor. Subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well, so that more people can find out more of what we can do that will help this situation. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. Please, share them. Knowledge is not power unless it's put into action. So please, turn this knowledge into power by sharing. Sharing these articles, sharing the news, sharing the podcast, sharing the website. It is the act of sharing that allows us all to help share in the blessings of liberty.